All right, coming back in on Sports Talk. I'm not Steve Geller. I am Jeff Nowak, taking you up till 8 p.m. here on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. We're also live on YouTube. We're going to bring in Greg Allman on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. He covers the NFC South for Fox Sports. The NFC South, suddenly a really interesting division to talk about, unless you're a Panthers fan. Then you want to go hide somewhere. How you doing, Greg? How you having a good night?
I am doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. Now, Greg, you know, obviously just kind of what is your initial read on how the first 2 weeks have gone in the NFC South? Because I think, you know, outside of the Panthers, which, you know, I think people kind of expected them to struggle a little bit. Obviously, benching Bryce Young is maybe not something that we expected to see. But by and large, with the Falcons even at 1-1, Saints at 2-0, Bucks at 2-0, is this kind of a division that suddenly people have to take notice of and say, like, wow, they, you know, you talk about divisions that might get 2-3 teams in the playoffs. You have to kind of take this division seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those where, you know, all three wins this weekend are big road wins against teams that are, you know, seen by most as playoff teams. So, I mean, you go to Detroit, you win. You go to Philadelphia, you win. You know, it's one of those where I think even, you know, more than anything else, it's just, you know, you go to Dallas, you win. I don't think any of those three were expected. So, you know, that's probably where in Atlanta probably stumbled in week one and lost a game most thought they would win. I think all three of those have probably won more game than people expected them to. Carolina, like you said, is still Carolina. I mean, if anything, they're worse than expected. But the other three, I mean, that's a strong weekend to have for any division.
Yeah, what is your read on kind of the Bucs and that situation they have down there with Baker? Because I think, generally speaking, there was question of, okay, how much of this was Dave Canales versus how much of this is Baker Mayfield kind of finding his way with a team. You know, Geno Smith, obviously, Dave kind of resurrected his career as well, and that's gone beyond Dave. So how have you seen kind of that new offense under Liam Cohen kind of take the stage there? Because it doesn't seem like they've missed a step other than, you know, I guess it hasn't missed a step, but to me, like, the biggest difference last year seemed like Chris Godwin wasn't a huge part of the equation, and this year he seems to be way more emphasized.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like, you know, all four teams in the division have new offensive coordinators and largely brand new play callers. So I think there was always the concern, you know, which of those four would take, which would have an offense that looked good from the start. And right now, I mean, so far, the answer is Liam Cohen in Tampa and Clint Kubiak in New Orleans. And they both come out of the gates really clicking as if they'd done this for a long time, as if the players have been in this system for a while. You know, I think for the Bucs, in terms of going from Canales to Cohen, I felt better about Cohen than I probably did about Canales a year ago, just because Dave Canales had never been a coordinator, had never been a play caller, was taking a big step forward. Cohen has done this before. He's done it under other offensive coaches. So there's that, you know, anytime you have a new system, you just don't know how well it'll show up right away in terms of fluency and mastery and everybody being on the same page. And I thought the Bucs, you know, I thought their first three games kind of played out very predictable in that you had home games against two rookie quarterbacks in Washington and Denver with Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix, and you had a road game at Detroit, which is probably one of their three toughest games of the season. So it really should have been win-loss-win the way it goes. So the fact that they can, you know, even shorthanded go up to Detroit and win definitely exceeded expectations. You know, it probably spoke to Detroit missing a lot of opportunities, but I think the Bucs' defense played a role in them doing that.
Greg, we had you on a couple weeks ago, and you were kind of talking about how at the end of the year, at the end of the day, you know, these teams in the NFC South, whoever comes out on top, you know, back then it was before the season started, so Saints weren't too much in that conversation, we would have hoped, and then there was mainly Bucks and a big question mark on what the Falcons would be able to do, but at the end of the day, there wasn't a lot of expectations for what these teams could do in the late season. Yes, we're only 2 weeks in, but has, you know, have the goalposts been shifted a little bit? Have they been moved with regards to if you think any of these teams, Bucks, obviously not the Panthers, could make any sort of noise come playoff time?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that any of the three are more than like a one-win playoff team. You know, if any of these three were to get to the conference championship game, that'd be pretty strong. You know, I think people still think of the top tier of the NFC being the Niners and the Lions, you know, maybe the Packers if Love is healthy, that kind of thing. But they're in that next group. You know, I think the Cowboys and the Eagles have both taken a step back now, so they're not necessarily one of the dominant teams. But I mean, again, if you win the NFC South, you get a home game. So as the Bucs showed last year, that can go a long way towards getting you to the next round. Now, inevitably, you're going to have to go on the road at some point. The Bucs went to Detroit in the playoffs last year and lost. They went there Sunday and won. So I don't know that anything has been so resounding that you'd say, oh, they're potential Super Bowl team or the Saints. Even though the Saints have scored 47-44, you kind of have to validate that more over a month or more, I guess, to really start getting in that conversation.
Yeah, what is kind of, you kind of hit on it there. When you watch a team score 47-44 points, it's just, it's hard to look at that team with any kind of objectivity in the sense of like, this isn't LSU in 2019. Like, they are going to get challenged at some point.
Right.
And what happens then? Like, when things aren't going perfectly, how do you handle it? Where do you see that? Because, like, I'm having trouble contextualizing it with another example of, like, because every example I look at, these teams went to the Super Bowl, right? All the teams you look at from, like, 2000 that scored 40 points in their first two games, it's like, oh, the Saints in 2009, the Colts in 2006, the Broncos in 2014, the Cowboys in 1971, as Colin says. Where do you see that? Because it's a difficult kind of bridge to cross of, like, okay, I want to get excited, but I don't want to go overboard. Where are you?
Right. I think the opener against Carolina at home, that's kind of one of those games they could almost score what they wanted to. I think there's probably a decent amount of teams against Carolina on that day that could score 35, 40 points without straining too much. Now, going to Dallas and scoring touchdowns on your first six possessions is outstanding. I mean, if they were looking for validation, that did that in a big way. To get a couple interceptions off Dak, to, just own the game start to finish. Kamara running the ball well. I forget what the number is, but, four touchdowns is the most anyone has ever scored against the Cowboys ever, matching, I think, three, four other guys. So it's one of those where they've done everything they can to this point. Now, can they do it again with the Eagles? They're going to get an Eagles team that's probably a little upset, looking to rebound.
They
do it again there. And again, an Eagles defense that looks suspect and questionable still. So still plenty of opportunity to score a lot of points. But if they do it again, if they're 3-0 and they beat the Eagles, that really puts them more now. You think about these power rankings, and I think everybody has their where they start at and where you want to put them after two wins. And once you've beaten Dallas convincingly, you have to put them ahead of Dallas in your power ranking. So whatever lingering impressions you have of the Eagles, if you had confidence that they were a playoff team or a division champ, if the Saints can take care of business and win convincingly there, they're now right there in that conversation. I mean, nobody else is going to be, at least on the NFC side, having those quality wins. I mean, if the Bucs win Sunday, they're beating Denver and another rookie quarterback, so it only carries so much weight.
Yeah, I do think that's kind of my takeaway, and I watched the Saints for two games very closely, right? So I feel like I have a pretty good idea of what went on. And then I go and watch some other teams, and I'm just like, offense around the league is not blowing anyone off the field.
Right.
And I don't know how much of that is, okay, people don't quite have a read on Clint Kubiak yet. How much of that is this offense really gelling? But the team I'm interested in terms of, okay, I still have no idea of how good this offense can be or not, is the Falcons. And Kirk Cousins, like, I watch him play, and I'm just like, even by Kirk Cousins' standards, the dude's not moving. I don't know if he just is afraid to move. There was a play in the red zone at the end of the first half the other night where there was guys open. All he had to do was take like a step to the right and extend for maybe a half second, and he's got a touchdown. Instead, he airmails it out of the back of the end zone. I'm like, this is a guy who's not. I mean, obviously, you don't want to take a sack there, and the clock runs out. But it's just like that's the tough way to win in the NFL. If you're not willing to try to extend a play even in the pocket, I'm just curious where do you see that Falcons offense now, and what's your read on Kirk at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they look better Sunday, but I mean, against Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh looks to have a decent defense. Your defense keeps Pittsburgh out of the end zone the whole game. You lose to a team that doesn't score a touchdown, your offense didn't have a good day. So that's a rough start.
Unless you're the Giants.
Right. Giants did it well. The seven field goals is pretty strong. Absent that, it's hard to do it. And then to see them, I mean, they won Monday, and it does a lot for Kirk Cousins for him to get that win and go whatever it was, 5 for 6 for 70 yards in less than 2 minutes and just lead him down the field. Easy touchdown, boom. I mean, it's stealing a win, but it's still getting an important win. Because if they don't get that, they're 0-2. They have the Chiefs on Sunday in Atlanta, which means you're likely looking at 0-3. And that's a hole that not many teams will dig out of. So I think they've definitely saved themselves that storyline. But they're not going to beat the Chiefs probably with 22 points on Sunday. They've got to click at a much higher rate. And Cousins has to, too. He can't wait for the last drive to make plays and move the ball consistently. They could do that, but I still haven't seen enough to say, oh, wow, this Falcons offense is as advertised.
All right, we're talking to Greg Allman, NFC South reporter for Fox Sports. I only got one more question, but I'm going to put you on the spot. And so you watch 2 weeks of NFC South football. How many games do you have to win this division? Where would you put it right now? Because I think over the last couple of years, you would have said, hey, if you get the double-digit wins, you should take this division going away. And I don't know. I'm starting to think you might have to get up toward 11, maybe 12. Where are you at?
12 would be impressive. There's still a lot of tough teams on the schedule, these three that are doing well. So I would say I still think if I were to guess the most likely outcome, it's like two teams at 10-7. But no, it's certainly not to say, I mean, I forget, New Orleans, I think, has four 0-2 teams still on New Orleans' schedule. So that's, again, if you're 2-0 and they're 0-2, you know, even if you're on the road, you'll be favored. So that's four. That gets you to six right there. If you go 3-2 in your other division games, now you're 9 wins, okay? And all it takes is whatever's left, 4 other games, and, you know, 2 out of 2, that gets to 11. So, yeah, 11's in play. I still think it's kind of like you look at the Rams are 0-2 right now. By the time the Saints get them, are they healthy? Are they better? We don't know that right now. So some of these 0-2 teams will be a mirage, and others will be a bad team that don't have it. These AFC North teams that are 0-2 right now. Ravens and Cincinnati are both going to be much better teams than they look right now. So I don't know. Like I said, if I were to guess right now, there's not going to be a 9-8. I feel good about that. That's speaking high praise for NFC South champions, that it takes 10 wins. But I think it's the conversation now starts at 10. And if you get to 11, now you're talking about seeding. You're talking about maybe a second home game. That's dreamy stuff for this division right now.
For sure. You know, I lied. I have one more question. And I did want to ask you about Bryce Young and that situation with the Panthers. And, you know, other than Andy Dalton being the new Ryan Fitzpatrick and that everywhere he goes, he eventually ends up a starter. You know, what is
right.
Does that see? Are they done with Bryce? I mean, I can't imagine they are, in the sense of you drafted him number one overall 2 years ago. You gave up a ton to get him. I can't imagine you pull the rug under him completely. But where do you think they're at with Bryce? How does he get that job back if he does? Or do you kind of just, if you're the Panthers, kind of have to reset? Where do you see that?
Yeah, it's baffling for me in that I don't know what the Panthers even root for in this scenario.
Right.
In that if you win with Andy Dalton, it's great that you have a 37-year-old quarterback that's better than the number one overall pick that you drafted. But all that really means is that you're picking lower when you try to pick the next quarterback in April. So I think for them to give a longer look to Bryce Young, even if it means fewer wins, also probably leads them to be in better position to make a better choice the next time they have to pick a quarterback. If they're sitting there at 5-12 and picking 7th or 8th, now you're going to get the third quarterback in what looks to be an underwhelming class of quarterbacks. They don't have a ton of cap space where you can't go out and get some amazing quarterback like the Saints and the Falcons have done in the last 2 years. So I'm not sure what the ideal scenario is. I mean, I think it's possible that I think Dalton's going to breathe more life into this offense than it's had in the first two games. Andy Dalton will throw it 40 times and he'll give you 300 yards and 3 touchdowns and 2 picks. And that's a lot more exciting. That's a better product on the field than what they've put out there. I think they've scored 10 or less in 8 of their last 10 games, which is just not watchable.
Yeah.
So I think you can't even really evaluate the people around Bryce Young if there's so little offense being done at any level. But so Andy Dalton does that for you. You can see what these young receivers and tight ends and all those things can do, but it's not necessarily better for the franchise as a whole. So that's kind of where I stand. I'll be curious if Andy Dalton plays well and doesn't get hurt. There's not an easy path to you know, neatly getting Bryce Young back in there and saying, hey, let's give it another shot. It's kind of like getting back with an ex you broke up with almost. You can do it. It doesn't always end up working out well.
That kind of sounds like when Andy Dalton was here. I was saying a lot of the same things. Oh, but hey, it does set up a pretty awesome Andy Dalton revenge arc in week 9 against the Saints. So that's going to be appointment viewing. But Greg Allman, NFC South reporter for Fox Sports. Thanks so much for the time, man. You have a good one.
All right, you guys take care.
All right.